I would like to pray over our service friends here this morning before they share. I have Barb Rice and Rick Kratz as our sharing people, but then I found out that Joe and Suzanne will be praying as well. So if the four of you would like to come up, I'd like to pray over you, and then you can all sit in the front pew or however you want to find yourself comfortable while you're sharing. Okay. You guys dressed alike. Woohoo, they're married. Oh, there you go. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group of men and women who have traveled to Honduras to be the hands and feet that you have asked them to be. They are the hands and feet of Christ. They're serving others who are so less fortunate than us. They give up their time. They give up their muscles. They give up their minds to serve others. And for this, we are very thankful. Please be with this group as they share with us. May we learn and continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Honduras. In your precious name, amen. So I don't know who's going to go first. Can you use that, or do we like?
Good. Okay. Well, thank you for having us. Like she said, my name is Rick Kratz. Just real quick, I have a wall hanging on in my bedroom next to my bed from Honduras. It's painted with some wood, some carving on it, and it says, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus."
Oh, wow.
We sang that song this morning, so we're meant to be here. So thank you. I see it every day. Yeah, so like you know, we represent an organization called Helping Niños Honduras. We go to Honduras. I've gone 14 times myself. I've led 10 groups. This time I went with Barb. She led our group. It was my wife's first time going, so I wanted to go not as a leader but as a participant so we could experience that together. So we went in January, at the end of January. Barb went for 2 weeks, so my wife and I were in the first week, and then some of us will share that we're also in the second week. So why I go to Honduras, I've been involved with the organization, I'm on the board now for 7 or 8 years. My daughter, who's 30, she's gone a number of years, and she says, well, we don't just go and do something and leave, we really help them to help themselves. There's a board in Honduras that's been involved, and we have several staff in Honduras. We focus on child nutrition, working in villages up in the mountains of Honduras. They're way up in the mountains, very rural and removed, and they really don't have a lot, and so it's eye-opening. It's something I think about every day. It's changed my life. Changes things that I think about, and what are things that are important to me. So we do have some slides which we'll talk about. I actually have a clicker. There we go. So when we go to Honduras, we stay in what we call a mission house, and it's actually very nice. So this is the house. We actually have a pointer on here. I don't see. There's dorm style on one side is the women, the other side is the men. We actually have a cook named Isabel who cooks for us. She's been doing it as long as I've been going, and she's amazing, and she cooks clean so we don't get sick while we're there. The water's really not clean in Honduras. This is the mission house. We just recently built a warehouse next to the mission house. It's right next to it. It's really nice. It really has opened up a lot of opportunities for us. Now we can get beans and rice that's donated by UNICEF and other organizations in Honduras. Now we can store food and can take food out to the villages. Obviously, COVID was extremely difficult in the villages. A lot of people are day workers. They go out and work in the fields day to day, picking coffee, cutting sugar cane, and they weren't able to do that for a year or two, really, during COVID. So we've really kind of started bringing food out to the villages and really, really have expanded that part of what we do as part of Healthy Niños. It also helps to give us some storage. We used to keep that up in the nutrition center, which we'll look at next. That's the inside of the warehouse, so it's really nice. We do water buckets, which water filtration buckets, which we'll see, talk about, I think, a little bit later. which helps with clean water as well. So we have an area called the Nutrition Center. That's been there as long as Healthy Niños has been. I mean, pretty much from the beginning. Oh, I was going to mention, I'm sorry. It used to be called the Mama Project, which some people may have heard of the Mama Project. That's been a local organization. And it started, I think, 1987, and now it's called Healthy Niños in Honduras. The Nutrition Center, when we go out to villages, we find children that are malnourished. We weigh and measure all the kids. We do some stations, which we'll talk about. And if we find malnourished children, we arrange for the mom and the children to come back to what we call the Nutrition Center. It's an area where they have some small houses. These are examples of little houses and a cook. And we teach the mom. We try to rehabilitate the kids, give them nutrition. And it comes with the mom and all our kids. The dad stays back at the village. And some will stay there for 2 or 3 months, sometimes even until they get healthy enough to go back to the village. So this is a Nutrition Center. There's a few pictures, I think, here. They have a playground area when we go. I like to go up at night and play with the kids. We go every day. You know, a lot of them don't. The parents don't play with the kids much because they're so busy. They're so stressed. They have so much work to do. They just don't have time to play with the children. So they don't have a lot of adults that play with them. So I find that an important part of my week when I go. I really enjoy to relate to the children up at the Nutrition Center. Just some pictures of the moms and their kids. Lots of kids. This was just from the last time we went. I'm a twin, and so whenever I see twins, I like to take pictures with twins. So there's three sets of twins that we found up at the Nutrition Center. And this is my last slide. This just shows the amount of children that we found that were malnourished. The red line is the malnourished children. The blue line is not malnourished. This is five different villages we went to. You can see over half the children were found that were malnourished. So this is mild, moderate, and severe malnourished. So the ones that are moderate to severe are the ones that we offer to bring back. But you know, in 1 week, there were 236 children that were malnourished. I'm told, we've known this for years, I'm told that the villages we go to are better than when we first started going. So talk about hygiene, nutrition, you know, we do a lot of help. But you can see there's still just a lot of a need and a huge disparity about, you know, how we live here and how things are. And this represents 95% of the world, and we just don't think about these things. So, all right, I will turn it over to my wife.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne, and I feel like I have gone 13 times, but I have only gone once because I've heard so much from my husband when he comes home. One thing I did want to point out on, so I'm going to actually talk about the medical brigade just a little bit, but one thing I do want to show you or make note of here is that the first 4 days were villages that Healthy Niños has already been to. The last day has a significantly higher number. That's because it's the first time we have been to that particular village. And it is very interesting when you come that particular day. A couple men came in the morning. It was kind of sparse, but they were coming to check it out. They went home, told their families, and then all of a sudden we had a rush of children, and it was just crazy. So here's an example of one of the villages that we are at, a time to talk and share. There's always time beforehand, and then, of course, after. In the Honduran culture, it is very important to give thanks, and they do that very well when we're there. So that is one of the village's schools that we were at. Here we are coming to one village, and they were welcoming Barbara. Nice. They're just so happy to have her come, and they were singing and chanting and having a great time. So at the beginning of our time together, of course, we do give instructions on what we're going to do. They talk about the water. They talk about healthy nutrition and all those kinds of things, and then give instruction on how the brigades are going to work. The first thing that happens in the brigade is people come and they are identified and placed into a computer system, and then they come to the next station, which this is that station, and I was at that station a lot of the week. At that station, we actually take blood pressure, the first thing is you got to figure out who they are, and oftentimes when they come, They do not have identification at all, or they have state identification of birth. And my only Spanish I really learned that way is identidad, por favor. And they still couldn't understand me because my Spanish is so bad because I don't say it quick enough. But we had to figure out who they were and identify them. Within the time that they're with us, the mama is checked for pulse ox and blood pressure. Kids, if they're under certain ages, see here we're placing all this information in the computers there. If they're under a certain age, they get the vitamin A, which the little teeny ones really give a fuss to that because you have to squirt it in their mouth. Everyone is given a deworming medication, which is an incredible gift to them because there is so much bacteria and worms within their water that they can become quite malnourished again and sick because of these worms in their bellies. But here we're given all the information and we actually store it in this system and in this computer so that the next time they come we can actually see what the weight difference is and all those kinds of things. Here's another place. There I am. Woohoo! Wearing my lovely shirt here. But this was a great way to actually kind of get to know these families just a little bit. It was often the moms and the children that would come. And they start with the eldest and go to the youngest. And little ones are all over the place. After they go from our station, they often head over to a donation station. And at this station here, if we're able, we can give school kits, we can give coloring books, we can give shoes and clothing. And this, I can't remember her name. Aurora here is also came along with our group with the organization Children Without Choices and helped to identify who might need what. She was really good at fitting people with their shoes and their clothing. She'd say, I think you're a size whatever, and they were. But this was a place where we also gave some dental hygiene care and some other goods for those kids. They might also get a toy and when you are given a toy, this may be the first and only toy you have had. And so these little ones just love their little toys, and they just treasure it. After they do all of these kinds of things, they go and they get measured and weighed, and then they may go just to, and that's one of the identifications to understand the malnourishment, whether weight and height. Especially for the children, and then they will go and see a doctor. Rick got to see all the little ones. He doesn't like to see the big ones because he's a pediatrician, but he'll see them too if he needs to. But this may be the only time that they get to see a pediatrician, so a lot of families really appreciate that. After that's all said and done, if they are given any medication, vitamins, those kinds of things, that may happen here at the pharmacy, and this pharmacy is packed at the mama house and then closed up, opened up here, and they are given medications that they may need. They also might see the dentist, which is usually extractions, getting rid of teeth that are bad. Had one young girl, 16, come like this, and she was smiling later. Again, after the brigades are all said and done, there's times where we are giving thanks, and it is quite the production, and you can see some of the Honduran people talking and giving thanks for what we have done. Another thing that is very common for these groups is the little ones get their fingernails painted, and I learned that actually they're not allowed to have their fingernails painted at school, but when the gringos come, that's okay. So they also want decoration, which is make them fancy, give them decorations. So this they also like the big gringo, they'd call him. So one of the stories that I wanted to tell is oftentimes when a family comes, the mama, her blood pressure is can be pretty high just from nerves. High blood pressure is a very common thing, but if we can, we will hold the babies for them so that their blood pressure can just like come down a little bit. And so we kind of get to hold those babies at the station I was at. So I just said, ooh, can I? Because I haven't been able to hold any babies yet this week. And this was the last day we were in Las Vegas area. As I was holding this baby, boy, he was sleeping really good. And he was a little chunky monkey, you can see. As I was holding him, I got chills and I got teary. And I heard, and this is important because when you're in a country that you do not know their language and they do not know your language, communication is very difficult. But Jesus, I think, is the great connector. So as I was holding this little guy, I heard, "This little boy will do great things in my name." And I took a picture immediately because I could not believe what I had just heard. I don't know this little boy. We were ready to leave the country, and I asked Erson, which is one of the workers for Healthy Niños, and I said, "Can you find out who this boy's name is?" And she said, "He said, let me take a picture." He sent it to the village, and 20 minutes later, I found out this was the pastor's son, the littlest one, and his name is Josue. And so I've had Josue on my phone for a good while, and I keep bringing this picture up to continue to remember to pray for him. I was able to tell them, this boy is, you know, good boy. And then, of course, because of the language, wasn't able to tell what God told me. But that message was then able to go to the pastor and their family. So pray for Josue, because he's going to do great things in God's name. I think that's my last slide as well.
Good morning, I'm Joe Dice. I attended the first week, the first trip this year, and worked with the concrete floor crew. This is my third trip to Honduras and my second with the concrete crew this year. I brought my friend Josiah. He was the gentleman with the painted nails. Besides Josiah and myself, we had Jake Rice and Tim Weaver working on floors. The Healthy Niños Honduras staff also had two workers, Edgardo and Milton, that traveled with us. That's Milton's feet there. We'll see Edgardo soon. Milton did the finish work, and Edgardo managed the project and floated around in every position. The jobs consist of filling sand buckets or bags and dumping them in the pan, moving the concrete bags and cutting them in half, filling and adding water buckets to the pan, mixing and dumping the concrete, smoothing it out, and then cleaning the tools. The week that I was there, we attempted to do four floors a day. This was a reasonable amount of work to do, depending on floor size, but was made easier by homeowners and community members assisting us. If someone is unable to help with their floor due to age or disability, the community finds extra people to help. The first day, we are done by lunch due to small floor sizes, and the more experienced members say that they almost never experience that. We typically would do around 40 bags of concrete a day, highly variable though. The sand is sourced before our visit by the communities, and sometimes when we run out, must be carried long distances up steep hills. This year we only had a little of this occur, but still enough to make us sweat. The homeowners also need to produce water to mix. In some places this is more difficult than others and requires jugs to be carried. I remember a day last year when I went where we were finishing up a home on the steepest hill yet. I think it was the last one of the week. And there's probably about 8 children living in there, and they're having their floor done. And children of all ages would bring as much water as they could every single trip up the hill to try and help us with their little jugs, you know, little bottles. And then, so on the last day of the week, we visited a new community. We did something our experienced members have never done. We removed an old concrete floor before pouring one. Let's see here. I'm trying to see if that was the last picture. Nope. Well, so here you can see kind of the mixing process. Someone adding buckets, two on each side, mixing. That's Eduardo there. He's been with them a while. Here you can kind of just see what kind of the home constructions are like. But so, yeah, the last day we removed an old concrete floor before pouring one. Jake thought that the reason why the old floor is not holding up was that it was mixed with too little concrete. We also noticed that this house appeared to be built in a floodplain on the edge of town where no one else lived. The interesting part of being on the concrete crew is seeing all the homes and the degrees of poverty that exist in each neighborhood. You can tell how well off someone is by the amount of rooms, concrete, plumbing, and state of their wood-fired stove. The building materials of their homes also show their means. Some of the poorest one-room homes include bamboo, tarp, and old tin as their construction materials. Others have foundations of block, stone walls, and sometimes concrete set posts and better tin. When we are in these homes and a water filter is present, Eduardo checks on its condition and, if necessary, re-educates the recipient on how to properly use it. In one home, it was not being used correctly, and Eduardo scrubbed it out very clean and went over the whole process again. Sometimes people are eager to get a free bucket, so the staff puts a lot of effort into conveying their importance. The people in the towns were always welcoming and often offered us food to us. Meals were brought out on site and offered to us by the last town this year, and there was pineapples sent back the one day. I have also noticed that Hondurans must have better backs than us because they love putting the heaviest items, such as concrete bags, as low down as possible for rehandling. They also have a good sense of humor, and with the floor crews, most of this goes without translation. We can normally figure out whose house it is and some other simple things, but are unable to communicate fully. It can sometimes be a little treacherous getting around from home to home. This year, Josiah was a little taller than the average Honduran and caught some low-lying barbed wire really close to his eye, but he was all right. The steep, muddy paths also prove difficult to navigate and make us grateful for the convenience we live in every day. If you have a disability in rural Honduras, it will not be accommodated very well. This year, after pouring floors, we'd clean up real quick and go play with the children in the nutrition center, like Rick talked about. This was new to me, as we didn't do it on our previous visit, so I was glad to be enlightened to that. The children were full of energy and loved to bite for some reason, but it was a fun experience and worth the extra sweating. I've been pleased to keep a correspondence with one helper, Milton, via Facebook since our visit. They said that they poured a floor for him the second week. The staff are always professional and keep their cool with us, even when sometimes it is difficult to manage expectations. Their investment in this work is really what makes a difference. Without them, a fractional impact would be made. In the off-season, they coordinate with many communities and their leaders to make our visits go smoothly. Healthy Niños Honduras succeeds because of its integration with the locals and constant effort from their staff. Sometimes we're pouring just like porches and then they'll build rooms around them, but you'll see sometimes they have these little like bases to divert water around the edge of their homes. And there aren't a lot of examples like these houses here are kind of better off. You see that they have power to them and good frames and stone. I think this was like the first day, and that's like a really nice stove that they've got. But in some houses, it's really not much. It might be like a fire on the floor, essentially. And there's one day, I don't know that we got any pictures, where, you know, like two of the walls was a tarp. It was a one room, very dim, kind of like a propped up door. And they just had this pipe coming out of the side. I mean, you're in this little like tin box with tarp, and you have a wood fire, and so smoke inhalation is often an issue. And the families are always there, watching us do our work, and eager to see their new floor. But it also, if you have a one room house, that you have to wait for it to set to get back on it. So I mean, that could be a half a day or more. But I guess sometimes you could kind of push it and get on it a little early. But so they need to come up with a plan for that day after we are there. Oh, yeah. And I think that's about all I'd have.
Sandy and I'm Ann, and this is Sandy, and we'll do a scripture reading, and we're going to do it from the 25th chapter in Matthew, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me."
Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in a prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
So that's why we do what we do, for the least of these. And I've been to Honduras many times. And I think the reason it almost becomes addictive, because you're there just serving God and all the other noise that's in your life, the things you worry about, your minor things at home that really aren't important, just go away. And you're just there serving God. And then you come home and you have a new perspective that your house is a mansion and all that. So I'd invite any of you that would want to come to contact Healthy Niños to join a team. We're happy that we can do what we do because we're able to do that because of partners that we have. Okay. There we go. And the staff. So when we arrive, the The staff in Honduras has our rooms prepared, and most importantly, they've contacted communities that are waiting for us, and the communities know that we're coming, and they've selected people that need cement floors that Joe talked about, and also people that need water filters, and I'll talk about that. But this is some of the staff. They're always smiling and happy. They love serving God. And this is the pharmacy, but we were eating lunch that someone had brought in, as Joe talked about. Often there's meals brought in that if you're a new timer, you have to be a little careful with the food. But I think I have a Honduran stomach now, so I can eat anything. So they're just so much fun, and we just appreciate them so much. Often they're translators, and, you know, as Suzanne talked and others, that we wish we could communicate. You just feel like there's a wall around you. I look forward to heaven when we can all talk. So, but there are translators, and we're thankful for their help. And then, as Suzanne talked about, at the end of the day, they want to celebrate our time together. So these are three communities that wanted to take a picture. And, you know, all together, it's probably 30-plus people that work that day to make our day of success. Beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And these are just some children. We had some other children pictures, but sometimes it's hard to get them to smile. They're very serious. These are some cute twins, I think, that are from the Nutrition Center. My greatness guy. Anne and I holding. They were twins, too, I think, right, Anne? I think they were twins. And that's our favorite, Mateo. He was so adorable. And the women, wait. They're so appreciative that we're there. And then I want to talk about water filters. And during lunch, we'll do a little demo of how the water filter works over in the fellowship hall. But here we were in the warehouse preparing the water buckets with the filter to take out to the communities. And we're seeing more and more people wanting them. The word's getting around from community to community that their children aren't sick anymore. They don't have diarrhea, and they don't, you know, need to get to the doctor or the health clinic as often because they're healthy. So the word's getting around, and everyone wants a water bucket. And as Joe talked about, sometimes, just like us, we know there's things that we can do to be healthier, but it takes extra work. And so some people, you know, the water bucket might turn into a trash can. So we just try to keep on top and make sure that they are using them and because for the sake of their children. And then people are selected in each community that need the water filter system. We rely on the community leaders. Again, they're another partner that prepares for us, prepares the space that we'll be in, you know, cues everyone up that we're coming, selects the people that will get the cement floors, and then selects people that will receive the water filtration system. And we just rely on them to do that. You know, we're just servants there, and we're just helping that community as needed. And then a new project, right, this is on the property of the Mission House and the Nutrition Center, is we were able to drill a well, and then through this organization, Living Waters, what's the full name? Living Water for the World. We were able to build this water purification plant, and we're there's the whole system there with tanks and some other filtration systems on the wall, and then we're bottling water, and we're able to give that to the schools and the health centers for free. And when Herman Sagastume, Dr. Sagastume, I believe he was here a few months ago, when he approached these teachers and leaders at the schools and said, you know, we were going to start giving them the free water, they started crying because the teachers had been buying the water themselves for the children, and they were thankful that we could do this for them. So I guess we gave you a pretty good reflection of what it's like to go to Honduras, what people are dealing with there, and we're happy to answer any more questions during lunch and show you the water buckets. So thank you for having us, and pray for Honduras and other parts of the world, most of the world, that are in these similar conditions. Thank you.
Are there any questions that you would like to ask the group while we're here? We will have the opportunity to speak at lunch.
I think you did a wonderful job. And again, you pack your bags, you get all the trucks that you need to get, you get in a plane, you travel far, and you serve others, but you also have the heart of God, and if anyone asked you to help fix a concrete wall, to help paint their house, to help with the health of their child, I'm sure that you would do that as well. So it's just wonderful that you take God's word out into the world, and we appreciate that so much. I have a check. Since Dr. Herman was here, we've been raising money, and I have a check for $725.
Wow.
From Wellspring Church to you to use for your concrete floors, for your water, and then for your the needs of the children, nutritional needs of the children. So we just give this to you and ask for further blessings, and we're thankful for all that you